Hello, everyone. Welcome to T1D Stories, where we have conversations with people who break through the challenges of living with type 1 diabetes to achieve whatever they want in life, both big and small. My name is Adrian Gonzalez, and I'm part of the Greater New England chapter of Breakthrough T1D. And my guest today is BJ Garceau, an MMA fighter from Bangor, Maine. Yes, you heard that right. BJ is a mixed martial arts fighter, which means she gets in a cage with opponents and they punch, kick, joke and take each other down, all for fun. So, in other words, BJ is proof yet again that having type 1 diabetes doesn't stop you from pursuing your dreams and your goals. BJ has lived with type 1 diabetes now for over 30 years. It hasn't always been easy, as we'll get into in just a bit here. But thanks to her fighting spirit, BJ continuously comes up on top. She focuses to change the world through nutrition, movement, and community. And with that, BJ, welcome to T1D Stories.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for such an amazing introduction. First of all, that was great. And I'm so honored to be here because I've been donating to Breakthrough T1D. Actually, my very first MMA fight, I donated all of my merchandise sales, my ticket sales, and everything like that to Breakthrough.
Wow,
And that's what led me to where I am today because I just didn't realize I was the first one doing this kind of thing.
Wow, that is awesome. Truly an inspiration. And the first time we spoke, kind of when we had our introductory call, I think you were heading out. I think it was to Colorado to do some kind, for an MMA tournament of some sort. And just like I am with my daughter, when she plays rugby, I was kind of afraid that when you got on camera today, you're gonna have like a big black eye or puffed up lips. But you look great. So that trip must have gone well.
Well, actually, in Colorado, I was teaching on a sports panel. There's a great camp for adult T1Ds called Connected in Motion. And that actually was the first time I ever, back in 2016, after my first MMA fight, I didn't have any T1D friends. I had just got on an insulin pump. I knew nothing about it. My endo, like many endos, had very limited time. And then I saw on social media there was an adult type 1 diabetes camp coming to Maine. And I was like, oh, I need to get involved in this. So actually in Colorado, I was on a sports panel with NBA player Gary Forbes, the
Wow.
first type 1 diabetic African American to play in the NBA. And I was teaching, so I do a lot of T1D teachings and things like that. And I actually retired from MMA a few years ago, but I still practice and I teach and I help others. And I do have a couple T1Ds now training with me. Like kids, 10-year-old kids.
That's awesome.
And now they're training after my hearing my story, and it's incredible. It's incredible. So yes, this face, I mean, take it for what it is. I'm actually training for a marathon right now. So I'm trying to be extra gentle for all those cheesy photos when you're running.
That's
I
right.
love it because when you first start a 26-mile race, you're like super happy, like when you start it. And then there's photos, like as you're about to get to the finish line, you're just like
That's right. Well, everyone hits the inevitable wall around mile 20 or so, and you have to, kind of grind through those last few miles. Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll get into some of this as well, but let's begin with, like we always do on the program, with the beginning of your, T1D story. So when did you get diagnosed with type 1 diabetes? I mean, what were some of the symptoms that you were having? I mean, what do you remember about that day, if anything?
So, and it's a little bit of a long story, and I have changed my lifestyle a lot in a way. So, just a little backstory about me. I come from a very, very, very small community in northern Maine. And we did not have Google or any education or anything like that. I did, however, have two type 2 grandmothers. So, neither here nor there. So, one thing about me is I've always been sick. When I was 4 months old, I had spinal meningitis, which almost claimed my life. I actually lost half of my hearing due to it, so I can only hear on my left side. And I was in the NICU for about 45 days, and then I developed asthma. And it turned, and my parents were both 2-pack-a-day smokers. They smoked, it was the 80s, so they smoked inside. There's like pictures of my mom holding me smoking. And then I was going to the doctors because of my hearing, because of my asthma since I was a kid. I used to actually carry a nebulizer, like a lunchbox, to school. So, anyways, point being is I was sick. I was kind of always a sick kid. And then in fourth grade, I quote unquote died, if you will. I had an asthma attack so severe that I had to get CPR on me. And we were so far up north, and I was in the fourth grade. And they had to do CPR on me until the ambulance came, which took about a half hour because we were so far up north.
Wow.
So anyways, point being was my family, my parents, they were never overly involved, but they always knew I was sick. And then sixth grade, it was 95, and I had been sick for about s a while. Like I had an UTI at the age of 11. I was about 5 feet tall, 60 something pounds. I was wetting the bed at sleepovers, so I stopped going to sleepovers, and my parents ignored it. And then I was at a holiday with my cousin, who is at the University of Maine for his master's in nutrition. And it must have just been the universe working universal powers, because I've survived all these other traumatic events from meningitis to asthma, that my cousin took one look at me, saw the amount of soda, because it was the 90s, so like we drank Mountain Dew like it was going out of style. My cousin took one look at me because he hadn't seen me. And it might have even been just like a month or so. And I had lost so much weight. I was getting up to go pee, and then I was so dehydrated, my fingertips were cracking. And I played basketball and stuff, and when I would catch the basketball, my fingertips would bleed on the ball.
Wow.
And then my hair started falling out. So my cousin saw me in a very distressed situation, and my parents saw me, but my parents didn't do anything. My cousin pulled my mom aside because he's older, and was like, "I think BJ has diabetes." And my mom got mad at him because I wasn't fat, I wasn't overweight, I didn't look like my grandmother, who was incredibly unhealthy. And my mom was like, "Okay." So waited a couple days, then we went to my type 2 grandmother's house, and we did a finger prick. And after the finger prick, meters, when they can't read glucose levels that high, they just like wave at you and stuff like that. So my mom then was like, "Oh my God," got in the car and yelled at me for eating too much sugar, brought me to Burger King, where I had my last meal before taking insulin, because my mom didn't even take me to the hospital that day.
Wow.
She took me to Burger King. I got a Dr. Pepper. I got a fried chicken sandwich because they were delicious. Some fries because I was still hungry. Like as with T1D, that's one of the things.
Right.
Excessive thirst, constant urination. So I had all these signs, open wounds, and my mom called my asthma specialist. Out of all the people to call, because I had to see her so much because my asthma was so bad due to their smoking. They did a test on me, and I just remember I had baby powder on my feet because I was so dehydrated, my toes were cracking too. So when I would walk, there would be blood spots on the carpet. And I remember they did a blood test and told me I needed to stay there. Then they had to admit me to the hospital in the pediatric unit right there. And I asked if I was 12, so I was in sixth grade. I had just finished middle school basketball. It was the week before softball tryouts because I've always loved sports. I asked if I could go home and see my dog. I have two older brothers. I asked if I could, because this was scary for a kid.
Absolutely,
You
yeah.
just hear you're gonna get, and they told me I couldn't go home.
Wow. Well, BJ, I mean, I think first of all, so sorry you went through that whole experience. I mean, I know it's obviously it's very emotional even just to kind of recall all of that. So thank you for for sharing that. I mean, I think it's scary enough to be a kid in general. It's scary enough to be a kid to
Especially middle
get
school.
in middle
Damn.
school, which is a tough, that 8, 11, 12 years old is a tough time just in general for any kid. And then you layer on top of that getting a diagnosis like this. And then unfortunately, from what you said, kind of you didn't really have that support system from your parents and others to kind of help you in that moment when you needed it most. But obviously, fortunately, you were able, your cousin was able to see that something was not right with you, and that set you that set the ball rolling, and finally getting you the help that you needed. You shared with me when we first talked that for several years after you got diagnosed, you didn't exactly lead, a healthy lifestyle. I mean, you were dealing with, substance abuse issues, weight gain, and other things. I mean, what was the turning point for you? I mean, what led you to kind of change course and choose a healthier, more, let's just say, productive, path?
So there were two big things, actually three big things. Like I said, I obviously had a very interesting relationship with my family. They aren't exactly, they, yeah, I haven't spoken to them in years, but neither here nor there, as I like to say. What led for me was actually I met my wife, which is weird. She was the first person that actually went to a T1D appointment, with me as an adult, and I still wasn't taking care of myself. I was, and I have, I'm not aware of my sugar lows because I, as a teen and as a young 20-year-old, I was drinking, I was partying, and I was not monitoring my glucose. I was taking pork insulin, and then it moved on to like, NPH, and then I had Lantus and then Novolog, neither here. And then I was just like, okay. So I met my wife. She was my barista at a coffee shop. And she actually was someone who started to believe in me. It was weird. Like she actually would notice my behaviors.
Weird that someone would actually believe in you.
Because I didn't have, I mean, I've had coaches and stuff, and I had some real, I have really great friends, but like I was about 45 pounds heavier than I am today, partying a lot. She would go out with me at times, but she was just such a cool person that I was like, I think I want to stick around a little bit longer. Like she was someone who I didn't feel I needed to be under the influence of, and I could be myself, including my T1D self, because I always grew up very ashamed of my diabetes and my sexuality and things like that, because my family is very one way. They think type 2, you should, you can control this, like da da da. I met my wife, and then, oh, sorry about that. I got dogs.
Didn't hear the dogs, so they're fine.
Anyways, met my wife, and then actually, so me and my wife were dating for about 8 months. And I was walking home from work because I lived right down the road, and it was one of those things where her apartment, we had started dating, and I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go walk home." I was working at the hospital, and I was working at the hospital, and I was like, "I'm gonna walk home," and I actually got held up by gunpoint walking home from work
Wow.
to see my wife, and I was smoking a cigarette because I used to smoke cigarettes too, even though I had asthma. Like I just had an inhaler on me. And I, for the first time in my life, and I was watching The Walking Dead, the zombie apocalypse. And like most, like 90% of the world right now, they think they will survive like fighting a bear. And I thought I too, because I watched Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, and I've watched like these movies where average Joes become superheroes, like when they're in a dangerous situation. But I did the exact opposite. I stood there and I went like this, and I couldn't even utter a word as this individual. It was actually a less fortunate soul protecting their campground, if you will, because I went through the woods on a, it was a shortcut to get to my wife's apartment. And I remember I had my flashlight. I heard, again, I'm a country girl, so I thought it was a raccoon. I heard some crackling, took my flashlight on my phone, and I was on manual daily injections. I went like this, saw a pair of boots, went up, and a guy was holding like a hunting rifle at me.
Wow.
And I just stood there, not reacting the way I thought I was going to react. Like I thought I was going to be able to kick, like, and I had never done a thing of MMA. I was, like I said, almost like anywhere from 30, 45 pounds heavier than I am today, drinking every day. And I went, and he just stared at me. So I put my, and I stood there for a second, and I was like, there's nothing I can do. We just stared at each other, and I turned around and I ran away, but I was out of breath within like 20 yards. Like I literally was like, oh my God, I hope he's not behind me. I was like, and it was one of those things I quickly realized is I would not survive in the zombie apocalypse. Which is weird because, like I said, I was obsessed with The Walking Dead, and in the comic, they actually have a T1D, in like one little brief thing on the show, who's like trying to get their insulin, of course, across. And I was like, oh my God, I am useless. I am useless. Seeing red does nothing. So that was a big change for me too. Was like meeting my wife, wanting a reason to live, and then going to see my wife, and then getting held up by gunpoint. And then after that, I found out because there were some fighters that used to come down to my wife's coffee shop where she worked and hit on her. And then she was like, babe, you should check out this MMA gym up the road, especially after what happened. Because, and I was like, okay. And I had just got on a Medtronic 570 with the Guardian sensors, which, but anyways, and I didn't even know CGMs and insulin pumps existed. And I was 18 years into T1D, but I was
Wow.
just getting my insulin through my PCP. Like I didn't even see a diabetes specialist for years, for years.
Wow. I mean, I think, just listening to all this, your life has been, it's almost like, the saying, life is stranger than fiction sometimes, right? And, all of these events that have happened to you. And I think for you to keep moving forward is certainly a testament to your strength and your willingness to kind of take on different challenges. So, it sounds like in many ways your wife, who wasn't your wife back then, but meeting her was a turning point, obviously, for you. Someone that believed in you, someone that cared about you, loved you. And then someone that pointed you in the direction of MMA, ultimately, that turned out to be, something that you found the passion in, and I assume, a circle of friends and supporters and coaches and all that that also, believed in you and served as a community, for you. Because I think that's, in the past episodes that we've talked about, which sounds as is really what you lacked for those years. You really lacked a community, a support community around you to help you through the, because I mean, life is difficult enough without, health challenges, but then you add on the health challenges and, if you don't have, a strong partner or a strong family or a friend or whatever, to lean on or help you when times get tough, because we all know that, again, times get tough with, particularly with type 1 diabetes. So it sounds like, again, your wife and the MMA communities, provided that community, for you. And
And
now,
my
obviously,
MMA coach, I just want to throw that because I know he listens to these too, is he's the one who actually pulled me aside and was like, do you have any interest in fight? I never wanted to be an MMA fighter. I just wanted to survive the apocalypse. Like I told him that the second day I joined the gym
You
because
want to
I
be like
started up.
Jean-Claude Van Damme in case,
Yeah,
you
I
walk
wanted
through
to
the
learn
woods
how to do
again.
these things. Like, and then I went in the gym and like I said, I was heavier. And we started this. He didn't know I was going to be the first T1D female MMA fighter to enter Octagon. I didn't know it. And we had fought in three different weight classes because we were so careful with the weight cuts. But it was my wife being held up by gunpoint and Coach Young, Chris Young from Young's MMA.
That's great. That
Yeah.
that's wonderful. And again, breaking barriers here, being the first, female T1D in the sport, again, serves as a source of inspiration and a role model, which leads me to my next question. I mean, being a role model for others living with T1D, especially kind of young people, is very important to you today. So I guess the simple question is, why is this a priority for you?
Inspiring young people.
Inspiring young people, being a role model now,
Yeah.
despite everything you've gone through.
Well, it's one of those things like, and I've actually been called the I word, an influencer, when I don't like, just like I never meant to be an MMA fighter. I honestly do a lot of these things out of spite because, like, I know my parents, my mom will see me on TV while she's up in the country smoking her cigarettes, drinking her coffee brandy, and things like that. And I know they'll read about me in the news, and it's weird. It's like, is I'm like, oh, I just want to prove people wrong. Like at this point, and why it's so important to me is because I started drinking when I was 14 years old. Like black, and I don't mean like wine cool, I mean like blackout drunk at pit parties. Like,
Wow.
and all through high school, at least once or twice a month, I was blackout drunk because I didn't have family support. My family never pulled me aside. I don't want kids to turn to substances to handle the, 'cause diabetes is depressing. We need to understand that. Like, and
Now,
it's
do
one
you
of
think the
those.
diabetes, I think I'm going to guess that the diabetes was a contributing factor in leading you to drink and substance abuse and all that. I mean,
Absolutely.
was that kind of like, just, hey, I don't want to deal with this, right? I mean,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. And I grew up in a household too where being in a same-sex relationship was very frowned upon. Also, my wife is a beautiful black woman. My family does not believe in interracial relationships. And for me, it was one of those things. And as a young lady growing up, like I had a high school girlfriend, but we never told anybody. I mean, I'm sure people knew, but I wanted to hold her hand in high school and I wanted to be honest about my diabetes, but I got made fun of at home for being fat by my brothers for having diabetes, like, you know. And it was one of those things where, and sorry for my nose running, I just get emotional talking about these things, that it's important for me to try to just share my story and inspire others. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear my
Yeah,
dog?
yeah, yep.
Okay. I want to inspire others because I don't want them to have to turn to substances, alcohol, things like that, because those are just getaways. They are even worse for your mental health. So for me, with why it's important, I never meant to be an inspiration. I just like sharing my stories because on social media and things like that, we see a lot of influencers who are just like taking selfies, like bragging, and they're not talking about real issues with T1D. And as someone who grew up with this disease for so long, because I was ashamed of it. I was ashamed of T1D because of all the bad things my mother would say about the T type twos. So by me sharing my story, by hanging out with kids, getting them involved with sports, and also MMA led me to sobriety. You can't work out and be an athlete when you're hungover or withdrawing or, you know, trying to get your fix. Like you can't be a functioning person when you're under the influence. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So for me to just kind of shed light and one thing I've learned from talking to the parents of these T1D kids, they don't have a lot of self-confidence. Here they are beeping in class. Here they are with these robotic gadgets on them, which, you know, as T1Ds, we're used to it. But when you sit, like literally people give me like, will look at it and be like, so these kids feel like they're outcasts. Plus, there's a lot of stigma. Like, I was taking a walk for a breakthrough event in Portland Sunday, and one of the moms was like, I'm so thankful for Maine Peapods because her 11-year-old has so much more self-confidence after they got to spend a week with other T1Ds. This little girl has so much self-confidence, she actually got on stage with Bret Michaels.
Wow, that's
Yeah, we
awesome.
did a big event at a concert venue on there, and it's just showing what community, which is never written in treatment plans, is so important for mental health, physical health, and things like that. And like I said, the first time I ever went to a type 1 diabetes camp with Connected Motion, it changed my life.
Yeah, my daughter, who is 25 now, and she was diagnosed, at 11. The first time she went to a Breakthrough T1D event, which was the rides that we do as a family, I think it was now a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, was when she went for the first time to volunteer. And she walked away, feeling so inspired and invigorated because, she said, this is the first time that, at least half the people in the room were like my people, like they all, knew exactly what I go through every day. And we spoke the same language. And I know what my daughter often says, she might be at a Starbucks or anywhere, and she'll see, my daughter wears the Omnipod pump.
Yeah.
And if she sees someone's with the Omnipod on, they might make eye contact or whatever. It's like, okay, we know
Yeah.
each other, because there's that connection. But again, I
Yeah.
think, being able to, I think it again further underscores the importance of having that community, that support system, and everything else. So now you've been living with, T1D for over 30 years, which is a long time, yet you're still young. So God willing, you'll have many more years to go. But
Yes.
any words of wisdom or things you've learned over the years that you want to share with others?
Take it day by day. It's one of those things that I'm working on. I worked with an amazing organization called Blue Circle Health, and they provided me with 6 months free of mental health counseling and endo just to help regulate it because my endo is so busy. Best advice I can get, find others with T1D, get involved with the community. And the one thing it's, and it sounds a lot like recovery for if anyone's familiar with the 12 steps, we have to take it day by day. Like if we had a high today, let's just work through that high. We can't change it right now. Don't stress about losing like a toe in 20 years, which by the way, side information, for the first time, I believe in history, in 2025, we saw the least complications for type 1 diabetics with the
That's
medical
phenomenal.
advancements that we've gotten for complication treatments, as well as pumps and CGMs and things like that. So my best advice would be take it day by day. Don't rely strictly on your endo. Your endo went to college, and if they may not have T1D, they are busy, but reach out to your community. You can also contact your reps, your insulin pump reps. You can contact Dexcom reps and get involved even if it's online. The best thing I've ever done in 30 years of this career as a T1D, I've had a lot of lows, I've had a lot of highs. And the one thing that's always been there for me is the community.
Yeah, that's a great advice. I mean, I think a couple of things that you said that resonated with me. One is, don't go on this journey alone, right? So community, reach out to others, not only your endo, but there's many other resources there for you. And secondly, take it day by day. And I think, one of the other guests we had in the program talked about, not striving for perfection, right? You can become, particularly with t technology today, where you almost have like real-time visibility on your device in terms of where your blood sugar is. You can drive yourself crazy thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going too high. Oh my gosh, I'm going too low. The reality is you can't fully control it, and you're gonna have good days. You're gonna have bad days, and you take each day as for what it is, and you do the best you can. Again, leaning on that support group on those days that are particularly hard for you to know you're not alone, and know that you're gonna get through it, nonetheless. Well, BJ, I mean, I think we could probably talk for hours here, and I want to thank you again for sharing your story. But maybe as a way to wrap up, again, like we always do in the program, looking ahead toward a future that all of us, can't wait for, and that is a world without type 1 diabetes. What would a world without T1D mean to you?
What would a world without type 1 diabetes look like for me or for the world?
What would it mean to you?
Oh, what'd it mean
A
to me? Oh my
world,
gosh.
if there was like, if we woke up tomorrow and a cure was found and says, you know what, within a year, there won't be any more T1D in the world. What would that mean to you?
Freedom. Money. Which it just sucks because, and I'm fortunate. I work 7 days a week. I have two jobs to afford my lifestyle and my medicine. And I talked to so many T1Ds, like the amount of money we would have, like the money I could use for a vacation, the money I could use for a new tattoo, like a new pair of running shoes. Like, and I know I have it good. I know what it was like for me when I was living as that kid out in this silly town. It was literally called Greenbush. So freedom. Oh my God. Can you imagine having, I just can't, it seems unrealistic, but I would like to make it a reality by doing things like running this marathon. So for me, it would just be freedom, health, mental health. Yeah. And finances. We'd have so much money.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the mental health piece as well, because it is, and I think it's kind of been a subtext in everything we've talked about here. But we tend to focus when it comes to type 1 diabetes a lot on the physical aspect of it, right? Going low, going high, kind of the physical complications that may develop long term. But it does take a heavy toll on mental health as well, because it's
So
something
much.
that. I remember reading a book, and I forget what the book is, early on when my daughter was diagnosed, because I was trying to learn as much as I could about the disease. And the quote was, someone referred to type 1 diabetes as a colicky baby that never stops crying. Like, You can't go a day without ignoring it, right? It's
Yeah.
always there, right? You leave the
Yep.
house, you have to take your supplies with you. Some days you're not gonna feel well. And the list goes on and
Yeah,
on,
you
right?
can't even go
So
for a walk with your dogs without making sure you have your settings right, your glucose is like, I literally had insulin on board and my dogs are like, let's go for a walk, and I'm like, shoot. I have like 3 units of insulin on board. I have a smoothie I need to drink. It's like we just can't go.
You've got
Everything
those
is planned.
constraints. So anyway, so great. Let's hope that that future is sooner rather than later. And for you, for my daughter and everybody else living
Yes.
with type 1 diabetes. So again, BJ, thank you again for taking the time to be with us and for sharing your story. I know it's not always easy sharing, particularly those early days, but I appreciate you sharing what you went through with us. I mean, you've certainly proved everyone wrong who said that you couldn't be successful with type 1 diabetes, and I'm confident you'll continue to do so. Serving as a role model for others living with T1D, and showing that they too can break through the challenges and achieve whatever they
Oh,
set
the
their
next
minds to.
generation of T1Ds, they're badass. You need to look out. These kids I work with, oh my gosh, we got everything from scientists. They're going to find a cure. We're just going to raise the money in the meantime. I have so much faith in these in the T1D kiddos, man.
I
They're going to
do
be great.
too.
They're amazing humans. They're going to show the world what's up.
I agree, and obviously having role models like you will help them along the way as well. So again, thank you. And for those of you watching, if you enjoyed this episode, please share with your friends and family. And if you're living the breakthrough with type 1 diabetes and want to share your story, feel free to contact me, and maybe you could be our next guest on T1D Stories. Again, thank you for watching.
Thank you.